Blog Talk Radio.
See, lately I've been trusting and confessing the wrong things, been messing with my head, but you're caressing what needs pain.
Good evening.
Good night. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, we have Brother Bruce, Brother Hubert. I don't know this 212 number. Well, actually, the last four digits is 7324.
That's me. I think, is that auntie? That's me, Daniel.
Oh, nephew Daniel. And we have Mother May, Sister Angela, and myself. Am I correct? Did I miss anyone?
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Angela.
Yes, that's all the people that we invited.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
Brother Bruce.
Want to hear your voice, Brother Bruce.
I thought you heard me.
She said, Angela just said, hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Good, good, good. Well, I'm going to just get you up to speed because I did talk to Mom and Hubert. I talked to little Daniel, and I talked to Loretta earlier. Just getting everybody up to speed on where Daniel is. So I'm just going to recap. He's actually having good and bad days. Yesterday was not a good day. Today was a good day. The doctor talked to the... And I talked to the doctor. She actually gave me a summary of his illness. She let me know that he is very ill. We need to first acknowledge that and recognize how ill he is. There's a couple of things going on. He does have COVID, and he has pneumonia in both lungs. So that's actually complicating the situation with his other illnesses. But the main concern right now, I'm going to touch on it now, and then I'll go back over the illnesses, then we'll come back to that because that's the main purpose of this call is as it relates to him needing oxygen, and this is because of COVID. When I talked to them last weekend, his oxygen, he only needed like 8% of whatever it is that they give him, which means he was pretty much breathing on his own, which was really good. On Monday, it got as high as needing 55% oxygen. So that was a huge increase that they needed to give him oxygen so to help him breathe. On Tuesday, they were able to get it down to 40. But today, it was down to 25. So that's definitely a significant decrease. And so he's breathing better on his own with the equipment. But the concern is if it gets in the 55 range or higher, he's going to need another form of breathing treatment. And there's two stages. The first stage would be having on like a sleep apnea mask on to help him breathe, like what they do for sleep apnea people to help him breathe. If it gets beyond that spectrum, the next thing would be the ventilators. Now, she wanted to share because he is very ill and very weak. Based on her experience with people with COVID, he's not strong enough to be able to take the ventilator machine. So that's probably the thing we're going to have to talk about, and we'll talk more details about it. So let me just kind of back up a little bit to share with you what are some of the illnesses that I believe Daniel was aware of some of them, but he wouldn't allow us to get engaged with his medical treatment. and he was canceling appointments, and he wasn't consistently taking the medication. So what we found out now is that he does have the cirrhosis of the liver, which is from the drinking, that probably caused all of the swelling that he had. So Bruce, I don't know, but if you knew that when they drained all that swelling off of him, it was over 5 gallons of liquids that was in his body. So they're still draining, and it looks like it's still accumulating a little bit, but they're still having him on water pills so that he can continue to drain it off. But they don't know the source of it yet, but believe it has a lot to do with the liver issue.
Yes. Okay, can I ask you a question before you move on?
Yes.
Did he have the vaccination?
He's had both the vaccinations. He did not get the booster.
Okay.
Okay. We believe that he did get COVID when he went into the emergency room. He stayed in the emergency room for about 48 hours because they didn't have no beds.
Right.
So we really do believe that that's where he contacted it, but we don't know for sure. We have no way of knowing that, really. But
right.
We don't feel like he had it here. We don't have it. And, you know, he's been going to different doctors all before, and then there was no symptoms or any concern that he might have it. So we feel like it happened while he was in the emergency room waiting to get a bed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But they didn't test him when he first came in there, so we don't know. That's why we don't know, because they didn't test him when he first came in, which I would have thought that's what they would have done. They tested him.
I thought that's what they do then.
Yeah. And then if they did, he didn't have it. And then when they tested him 5 or so days later, he had it.
Okay.
So that's why we believe it was in the hospital. But again, you know, that's here or there, but he does have it, and it. Right now, it is contributing to his pneumonia issue, and that's what's making him tired.
Right.
Any other question before I go to the next illness? Okay. The next illness is that he is bleeding on the brain, and, you know, there's two different types of bleeding on the brain. One of them is, you know, you got your protective membrane over your true brain. So a lot of times people, when they bleed, it's on the outer side of the brain. And I think that's probably a procedure that can be done without major surgery. I don't know for sure, but that's what it sounded like from the doctor. But unfortunately, Daniel is breathing underneath that protective membrane. So it's actually on his brain, and therefore that's what's causing him to be in and out of consciousness or not knowing who he is, where he is. But I have to say, I call up there almost every day, and there's only been one time that he didn't know who he was, but there's only been a couple times he didn't know where he was, but he knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really like really, really bad, but he is in and out from his perspective. And what I got from the bleeding on the brain that in order to resolve this particular issue he has, it may require surgery. And then once again, he's not strong enough for any type of surgery, so that is not even a consideration at this point. She did mention, I can't think of what she called it, but she did, stop that, put that down. She did mention that he had a spot on his lung. I can't remember blood clot. But she said that comes from the COVID. But it's not a big one, it's a small one that sometimes it could go away.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to sound all doom and gloom like there's no hope, because we all know that God is in control of all of this, and then whatever his will is what will be done. But
right.
I do want everybody to recognize how serious it is and how very ill that he is. And it comes down to him not giving up and having the fight to continue to, you know, go through what he's going through for treatment, and whether or not he's going to get stronger so he can fight back on, you know, the different things that are going on, especially the COVID.
Right.
So I'm not trying to tell people don't to lose all hope. That is not my intentions. My intentions are for us to really get it out in the open, what's going on, how serious it is. So now I'm going to go back to the very first thing that I talked about around the oxygen. The doctors, as I said, do not recommend that we put him on the ventilation machine because, he's not strong enough. Not unless if at the point he get where he may need that and he is strong, that's a different story. But if he needed it now at the state that he's in now, he's not strong enough where it's no benefit to put him on the ventilator because the ventilator is going to make it worse. So if it gets to that point, it becomes our decision on what we want them to do, either put him on a ventilator or not. And I suspect that if it gets to that point, we ain't going to have no time to think about it then. We're going to have to kind of pray about it and decide how we want to proceed with it if that does occur, so that we can give them a quick answer and move forward. So what I'm going to do now is just kind of pause for a minute and allow anybody to say whatever else they want to share or thoughts and things around the scenario.
Well, I just want to share that I've been praying, and God is in control. And with him, all things are possible. And I constantly remind myself that he rose Lazarus, and he was in with Daniel in the den. So I'm just asking God to be with him regardless. It's God's will. And I pray that everything turns out to be okay. And I'm praying for a miracle. Amen.
Amen. I did tell that. Anybody else?
Well, for me, just based on everything that was said, you know what I'm saying? None of us are doctors, you know what I'm saying? So really we lean in towards the doctors to do the work that God has, you know what I'm saying, led them to do. So I'm thinking whatever they suggest, you know, let them move forward, you know, as far as that's concerned, because none of us are doctors.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. You know, this is, and I'm just going to add to that, Bruce, is praying that the doctors that are working on Daniel, that God sent them as angels to care for him in the way that God wants them to. So I totally agree with that. But I want to make sure I understood what you're saying. Are you saying that we take the opinion of the doctor as it related to the ventilator, not to go that route if it had to happen like this, say, tomorrow or whatever?
I mean, they laid it out for you that, you know, they don't suggest the ventilator at this point because they feel like he's not strong enough. So
right.
At this point, I don't think that would be an option unless, you know, something changes in the future on that. Like I said, they know best.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought you said. I just want to make sure. Do everybody else, everybody chime in and say what you think, you feel it. This is the time that you share your thoughts. You disagree with that, then share.
Hey, Auntie, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Hey, y'all, it's Daniel. So I just want to make sure I understand what's being talked about here. So this is if his oxygen level gets too low that, you know, it's not sustainable for his body, that they can put him on a ventilator. And that is risky in its own right. So it's, you know, basically, are we wanting the question of, you know, if that happens, you know, are we wanting for him to let go? Or are we helping, you know, want to fight on, even if it's in vain and it's a painful process? Because I know those ventilators are very also strenuous on your body. So that's the question we're asking here. So
correct. That's the question.
That's a big question.
Yes, it is. It doesn't require an answer today. But, again, if anybody have feedback that they can share for people to walk away to think about and pray about, but we just need to come to a consensus so that if it was to occur, then we can respond quickly to the doctors on which way we want to go. Well, how do you feel about it, Daniel, being that that's your dad?
What did you just say, Angela?
I was asking Daniel how did he feel about it being that it's his dad. Because, you know, I think of it as if, you know, he's hooked up to a machine and they ask us to pull the plug on the machine, do you want to do it or not? That's how I view this particular scenario. So I'm asking Daniel, how did he feel about
Yeah, well, I don't want my dad to suffer. I sure want my dad to fight. And I don't really know how to feel right now, to be quite honest. I think I'm just going to think about it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Pray about it for a minute.
And that's acceptable.
But I understand. I understand that, you know, I get it. I need to, like, let it sit for a minute. And I'm going to go down there, and I'm hopeful that I might be able to see him even soon. You know, if it's not, you know, it's indefinite. I'm going to be there for a minute, so I want to see, you know, see how everything goes there as well. I'm going down there tonight.
Okay, I understand. I'm just trying to give everybody a chance to give their viewpoint. Hubert, how do you feel about it?
I feel the same way, Bruce. And you know, I feel like he's in good hands. They know what's best. So leave them up with the decision. Even if they call, we receive their recommendation as it goes on. You know, we don't know nothing. That's good. So hopefully it'll stay that way and get better.
Exactly.
But if it take a turn for the worse, the doctor knows that's what to do, like Bruce was saying. But I feel fine. I'm glad that everybody came together and made the call in so we can discuss the matter so wouldn't no one be in the dark about Daniel's condition. But, you know, Daniel, he's been fighting his condition. You know, that's why he keeps drinking, kill the pain. It's hard on his body to come back to reality after taking such abuse as it has. So, you know, hopefully they can attack it at the right source that they're dealing with so they can move on to the next, deal with the next problem. See, then you got three or four problems. So, you know, they're in a bad position to be in, but like Bruce said again, let the doctor work it out. They know what's best. They're there, man. They keep it still. We should put our faith and trust in them and knowing what to do.
Amen.
Well, the little that I know about Daniel, I don't think he wants to be hooked up to all these different machines. That's what I picked up, because that's the reason he didn't want to go to the doctor. Because I feel like he had a feeling that he was, you know, really sick that we didn't know about. But I don't think he want to be hooked up to all these different machines.
That's my feeling.
And that is exactly what he told the doctor yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That he didn't want, and he pulled off one of the tubes or whatever he had because he did not want to be hooked up to the machine.
Uh-huh.
Now, she took it as as maybe he was giving up, but I explained to her that based on the history, and I know what Mom just said, it's more of that than him probably giving up. But,
right.
You know, that's what I shared with her. So she was glad that I shared that with her because that gave her a different perspective because she don't know him like we know him, you know.
Right.
Right. One quick question. I heard, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
We hear you.
One quick question. I just want to go back because you were going over all the issues. I'm not trying to, you know, rehash it too tough. But what I wanted to know again, because I don't know if I heard it right or I missed it, exactly with his lungs. I know you said blood clot, a small blood clot was found in his lung, but you said something before was going on with his lungs.
Well, he had pneumonia. He has pneumonia in both lungs from the COVID.
Okay.
But, you know, now that we were sitting here talking, I'm talking to Mom, I remember that he already knew he had that blood clot on his lungs, and he and I had talked about how...
I said, that's probably the reason why he kept avoiding going back and forth to the doctor, canceling his appointment.
I think I remember him telling me about it, and that's when I started getting involved with the doctor's appointment. But they had him going so many different places with so many different things, we couldn't put our arms around what was going on. And then we taking him to a doctor's appointment or getting ready to, and he'd already canceled them before we can walk out the door. So we just had a lot of different things going on. But now that I think about it, he didn't know that there was that blood clot in his lungs. Now, what the doctor had told me was it could have been resulted from his first stroke, and it's been sitting there all that time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't big. It wasn't big or intrusive that they, and it didn't appear to be causing any problems with him medically, but it is there.
So you think they shared that with him when he had his first stroke?
That was back in July,
what, 3-4 years ago? Or longer than that?
5 years
ago.
I know it was July 4th. Yeah. We've been here 5 years.
Mm.
So it could have been about 6.5 to 7 years ago, Loretta. Because Mom been here almost 5 years now.
And he had the stroke before Mom moved back?
Yeah, he had it because when I went down there for Pop's funeral, that was my first time seeing it after he had the stroke.
Okay. Okay.
And it had been at least a year. Yeah, so it could have been stuff. So they said that spot on his lung, a blood clot on his lung, could have been there from the first stroke. But one thing that they did confirm was they did an MRI of his brain just to see whether or not he had another stroke recently, and it told them that no, it's just that one stroke that he had those years ago. There wasn't a current one. So that right there was good news.
Amen, amen.
And that's what I wanted to know. Do they have documents knowing how many strokes he's had?
Well, they said that they were saying from that MRI, it tells you that he only had one. They can determine how many you've had based on looking at that MRI. That's what she shared with
mm-hmm.
me. But
okay.
I just want to say, go ahead, whoever talked.
That was you, Mom.
I just want to say that
I've been thinking about the bleeding of his head is where he kept falling and bumping his head.
Oh.
Every time he fell, he bumped his head. So I believe that's why the bleeding is surrounding all of those falls that he had.
Yeah.
And they only took him to the hospital once and taped up one of the scars.
But there was a the last fall was a deep cut,
mm-hmm.
and it did require stitches. But they did that glue type stitch to it. But
uh-huh.
that last fall was a really bad fall, and I saw it happen. And he hit my tile floor so hard, I heard it. It sounded like his head cracked. So the bleeding could have started from these falls he's been having. But from my understanding, he's been having these falls for years, and nobody really knows how many falls he's had. Only the ones that people witness. Because I know we came home one day, he was on the back porch because he had fallen and couldn't get up. One day he had fallen and dragged himself in the house because he couldn't get up. So he fell on my rocks in the back as well, and he cut his head open then, but it wasn't as deep. So it could, the bleeding on the brain could have come from all the falls he had, and most of the falls contributed to the fact that he was drinking and could not walk back to his where he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So just putting it out there like that.
Well,
that he probably had bleeding on his brain for a while then, because he's been falling out since he was staying with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. And I know Vanessa mm-hmm. said he fell out a lot over that house too.
And before he moved with you, Bruce, he was passing out.
Yeah, because he said people just walk over and left him laying on the floor and wouldn't pick him up. So, yeah, he's been falling out a while, but again, we don't know where the bleeding came from, but it is not a surprise that it would not have came from there. Now, the only other thing that the doctor said it could have came from was when he first came into the hospital and when they were trying to deal with his illness, they did give him some blood thinner, and sometimes the blood thinner can make the brain bleed. But typically that's mm-hmm. not on the inside. It's typically on the outside of the brain.
Uh-huh. Well, I have to say that Daniel is a fighter,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to make a change. Otherwise, he wouldn't have moved out there. He knew he needed help. So I have faith that God is going to see him through this.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, but I just want to make sure, because they're going to call, if it happens to come that way, I give you guys as much heads up as I can. They're going to call me, and I'll give you guys as much heads up as I can. But I know you guys said y'all going to think about it, so this is the part we have to think about it, that if I get that call, that particular call, that we have to have a decision in hand for me to say yay or nay on the ventilator. You don't have to make the decision today, but just know that time is of essence, and we really need to think about it hard and long.
Well, my opinion is that if it goes down to the ventilator, I just think that that is the last result. And the ventilator is only going to make it worse, and that just makes them suffer a little more. And I don't think we should continue to let him suffer when he don't have to. We just give it all to God
mm-hmm.
and let God bring it to the fruition. And we let it go at that.
And I kind of agree with you, Grandma. Amen. Well said.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I'm going to say I agree with that as well, because I know that Daniel's been suffering ever since he's been here. And he quietly suffering, and like he said, you know, masking the liquor over it. And he's been popping pills, just to, you know, just wanting an overdose on the pills, because he's been popping pills to numb the pain, not to even mention the problem with his leg. So me personally, he suffered long enough, and so at that point, I'd rather leave it up to God than to keep to have a machine of him.
Amen, Jehovah Rapha.
That's my opinion. So, you know, so I think I heard everybody sound like we're all on the same page. But, you know, you know how it is when you sit back and start thinking about it, and we just have to take ourselves out of the equation and make sure we're thinking about the better for Daniel,
yeah,
not what we
right.
want, and just know that God's will be sufficient, because God, he's going to do what's right, because he's never wrong.
Amen.
But if anybody have a change of heart and want to talk about it later after we share, because I think I've heard everybody say the same thing. We don't want Daniel suffering, but we wouldn't want to go to the ventilator machine. I thought that's what I heard everyone say.
Little Daniel, didn't you say you want to soak it in a little bit and talk to her later?
I think when Grandma was speaking, I felt that felt
okay.
Well,
yeah,
summarized, you know.
Yeah.
And so I am going to see him. So when I see him too, you know, things might change. You know, I think, you know, always when two or more gather. So as we're getting, you know, closer to the situation, I'm praying all will be well and we won't have to worry about this.
Amen. And just so that y'all know, we do pray corporately, the three of us, every night for Daniel. And I'm going to continue to do that. If you guys want us to join you in on it, just let us know. But, you know, when it's two or more gathered, we know that God's presence is amongst us. And we know it. And we're not praying because we don't trust that he's going to do it. We're just praying and praise Lord for what he's already done, because he done already decided what he's going
to do. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Angela, thank you for the update. I'll just keep praying and trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
It's his will.
And like I said, he have his good days and his bad days, and he had a very good day today, physically and I believe mentally. One thing that I did do today was I was listening to my morning prayers, and I decided to send it to his cell phone and text it to him on YouTube, and the nurse was kind enough to pull it up and let him listen to it. And it was at least 45 minutes to an hour, so he, you know, he got fed by the good Lord, and it was an excellent morning prayer, healing prayer. So, you know, whatever we can do, you know, we can still do it. The nurse said we don't want to crowd him with phone calls, but he did say that, you know, he doesn't mind that, you know, one person call a day to get an update. They don't mind that at all, because they know we can't come see him. But they've been very, very gracious and helpful. But I don't want us to be hostile towards them because of, you know, what we suspect might be happening, not be happening, because, you know, vengeance is not ours. Vengeance is the Lord. So we're going to have to continue to trust in the Lord that he's going to put the right people in the right places to heal Daniel. And the healing for Daniel can go either way. Whether it's God's will to take him from this earth or God's will to let him stay here a little bit longer, either way, he's going to be healed.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha.
So if nobody has anything, I don't want to keep you guys much longer, because I don't know if Bruce, are you working?
No, I'm
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to do a quick round table and then we can close. And if anybody have anything else to share at that time, please do. So I'm going to start off with you, Loretta.
I just want to say that I plead the blood of Jesus over our entire family, especially Brother Daniel, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Lord, we ask that you go on the inside and cleanse us, and especially Daniel, of anything that is not of you, out of him, away from him, and never come back again. I just want to say that I love the Lord, and it's in his will, and with God all things are possible. Amen.
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 All right. How about you here? But thank you, Loretta.
Well, I would like to make a request that I'd like to state for the reason why I will make this request. Praying that we've been doing every night seems to be making a difference around us, you know. And making a difference in that was believing God to be the only true doctor that we need in order to make it through our stones. The Lord, I pray that he give us strength to be able to bear his decision, good or bad, for us. But we put it all in his hands, and hopefully we promise to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray that he heals that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. Thank you for sharing, Hubert. Next, I'll go with Bruce.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank everybody for being on this line tonight. All the information that was shared was very useful, and you know, it's something that I wanted to know instead of just guessing on a lot of things, you know. And you know, as family, you know, let God will be done, you know. And I love all y'all.
Love you and too, brother.
Love you too. Thank you for sharing.
Love you too. Amen.
All right. Since you spoke up, Lil Daniel, you're next.
You know, I like to start off by saying I love all of you, and it gives me such joy to hear your voice together. You know, as we said, you know, when two or more gather, we're in the presence, and that presence is giving me love, healing, and you know, I'm ready to put on my spiritual battle armor and get to praying, and can't wait to, you know, shine on my Father, and as he has done unto me, and God's will be done either way. And this has taught, you know, reminded me for all a great many things that, you know, we are surrounded by abundance of love. We just got to learn how to take time to enjoy it and be with people as much as we can. There's so many things on this world that's intangible, it's not real, but your family is real and your love is real, and it is what it is, and you got to be there. And I'm grateful for learning that, and I'm grateful for being able to go down there and see him and watch him heal. Should that be the will. Thank you all. I love you all.
Amen. We love you too.
All right, Mother dear.
Well, I just want to say
thank you, Daniel, for sharing. I apologize. I hope I did say the same for Bruce and Loretta as well.
I just want to thank all of you all for coming together as a family. That means so much to me. And we know that each one of us have that debt to pay, but we just have to strive to give God the glory No matter which way the situation goes, we still got to give God the glory and help us to be strong for one another. We live in this life and we leave this life. But in order to have God on our side, we already are winning. So I just give thanks for all of you all. And we're going to, we got the victory. Either way, we got the victory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mother.
Amen.
Well, first of all, I'm dittoing what everyone else is saying is that I'm so glad that everyone came out to support the cause. As Mom said, it means a lot to me because I am about family. That's probably one of my biggest things is about family and love and knowing how to demonstrate it. We've all gone through some storms as it relates to knowing where we sit in our family, where we are in our family, where we love by each other. But, you know, when it came down to love, we will pull ourselves together and be there for one another. So as we continue to go through this with Daniel, just know that we need to be able to lean on each other for support. Don't hold all of it in like a lot of us did when Daddy died. We need to know that we can lean on each other and know that God can move mountains.
Amen.
So we're in the storm, but he can move those mountains out of the midst of those storms, and there's nothing impossible for him. So I have all the faith in the Lord that he will do what is best for Daniel along with his will, regardless of whether it's on this earth or it's in heaven. And I would just like to just piggyback on one little thing that has resonated with me so much as I'm going through this, was reading through a book about a family that lost their mother and how they talked about how they prayed every night. They did everything that, you know, they were taught about the Bible and how to, you know, how to combat the spiritual warfare, and they felt like they did everything, but God did not save their mother. But in his prayer, he asked God to make his mother healthy. He asked God to that she needs to be with family. So when she actually did move on to the next world, God responded to him. He realized God answered his prayers. God basically said, she is healthy now. She's not in no more pain. She is with family. She's with family that have gone before her. So that is all information God will. So that right there gives me all the comfort that I need in what's going on. And again, I'm just going to leave all my faith and my hope in the Almighty God that we have, the healer that we have. And again, if anything comes up, I will keep you guys apprised of anything. I don't want you guys to be overly alarmed about just because you see my name. Or I might just text you, you know, if there's something that we need to be a little concerned about, but I will definitely make sure that it's not something that would send us all over the edge as I learn different things. But again, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your honesty and appreciate your love and support for our family. In Jesus' name,
and
I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I want to say thank you, Angela, for being there. And if you need to talk to anyone, or any of you guys need to talk to anyone, feel free to call me anytime. I just have to put it in the Lord's hand. Let go and let God.
But I love you all.
Love you guys.
Love you all.
And we'll be in touch. You guys take care and have a great evening. And Dan and Man, I guess a little Daniel, we'll see you later.
All right. I'll see y'all later.
All right.
We love you.
Love you all.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye, Bruce.
Bye, Bruce. Good to hear your voice.
Okay. Yeah.
Likewise.
Take care.
All right, Brother Huber, Mother May, Lil Daniel, Angela, Brother Bruce, good night, everyone. I love you all.
Good night.
Good night.